Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Last week, Pastor Rick spoke an excellent message, and he had one sheet of paper. I have a notebook, an entire notebook, missing one page. No, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the church and what it means to be a part of the church. My wife and I have been a part of Abbot Loop Community Church for 38 years. We started attending here when she was 18. I was 20, and we had just gotten married, and she wasn't even a Christian yet. We started attending, and within the first few months, she had accepted Christ, and I had rededicated my life to the Lord, and we came back to Christ and came to Christ back in 1974. And at that time, we made a decision to become regular attenders and attend Abbot Loop Community Church. And that's how it is for some of you. Some of you came here and had recently gotten saved or gotten saved here and made a decision to become a regular attender. Or some of you have perhaps come to know Christ in other places and came to start becoming a regular attender after you started attending here. But the word for church in the Bible is taken from a Greek word, and it just simply means that we're called out. We're called to be separate. We're called out of where we were, and we're called to something. We're called out of, and we're called into. We're called into what is referred to as a gathering. The Holy Spirit called us to gather together. And when we gather together like this, all of us from different places, different different demographics, we're all from different backgrounds, different places, different age groups, but we're all called out of where we were in the world. We're called to gather together for a very important reason. Now, back in the early church, if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, we'll take a look at this. Acts chapter 2 is an account of the early church, and the Holy Spirit was gathering a few believers. There was a few believers that were together, and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what happened was, out of these few believers that came together, they gathered together, and they prayed, and they sought the Lord, and something began to take place in that community. God began stirring, and God began drawing other people, and many, many people had come to Christ, and Peter had stood up and preached a message, and 3,000 brand new Christians were born that day. 3,000 believers that came into the church that day. And as they continued to gather together, something happened among that group. And in chapter 2 and verse 42 of the book of Acts, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's a remarkable account of what happened when the people of God gathered together as a church. They gathered together and the Holy Spirit began to move and something exciting was happening. Now, one of the things that I've observed over the years, and it's evident in this particular passage, is that new believers have a tendency to become good believers, good attenders. New believers become good regular attenders of church. As soon as they come to Christ, they're excited about what's happening. They can't wait to get back to church. And so new believers become good attenders. They become good churchgoers because they can't wait till the next church service because they love the preaching of the word. They love the time of worship. They love the fellowship. They love catching up with each other. And so there's something that I've observed is that when a person becomes a new believer, you don't have to really encourage them to attend church. They just come because that's exciting for them. They're finding new life there. In the book of Acts, it describes the life of the local church or the early church. And one of the first things it says is it says they devoted themselves. That means to continue steadfastly in something. It means to give yourself strongly toward something or someone. When it says they devoted themselves, they were giving themselves strongly towards what was happening in the local church. Now, what's interesting is that they were the ones who devoted themselves. It doesn't say someone else devoted them. You have to devote yourself to something. You can be nominated. You can be encouraged. You can be manipulated. You can be badgered, but no one else can devote you. You have to be the one to devote yourself. It's not something that someone else can do for you. You must be the one to decide if you're going to be devoted to someone or something. And those new believers made the decision, we're not going to miss this. Something is happening here. This is exciting. I want to be a faithful attender and find out what God is going to do next. So the first thing was is they devoted themselves. No one had to devote them. They did it on their own free will. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were just taking God's word as though it were like manna from heaven, and they were receiving it with glad and sincere hearts. And they took the word of God and they listened to it, and it changed their lives, and it challenged them, and it inspired them, and it equipped them. And so they were longing for and looking for and listening for and yearning for the apostles' teaching. They made a choice to devote themselves to hearing and learning and studying the word of God. No one had to devote them to that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And it says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. The word fellowship implies that there was something distinctive about them that set them apart. When they got together, there was something distinctive. Am I hearing music? Okay. But it says that there was something distinctive about them that set them apart from the other groups of people. When they got together, there was something that they had in common. Because if you remember from the early church, they had come from all different backgrounds, but yet they had something in common. So when they got together for fellowship, they had this commonality. Every one of us in this room, although many are from very different backgrounds, we all have something uniquely in common. They had the Holy Spirit in them. And whenever you get together with other believers, Jesus in you ministers to Jesus in the other person. The love of God in you will minister to the heart of another person. So there's something unique about the fellowship, and they devoted themselves to that because they saw how critically important it was to get together with other people like themselves who had the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, who were excited about what God was doing. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. There's, for some reason, whenever something is repeated many times in the scriptures, that's an indication that it's important to God. When God repeats a word over and over, or a principle, an idea over and over in the scripture, it shows that it's really important. And for some reason, there's lots and lots of illustrations of people eating together. Isn't that amazing? It's like it doesn't talk about people doing other things together, like making baskets together, but there's a lot of talk about them eating together. And apparently it was a really big deal when the disciples were following Christ when they ate together. And there's one of my favorite stories in the scripture is on the road to Emmaus, after Christ was crucified and after he was buried and he was raised from the dead, and not all of his followers knew yet that he had been raised from the dead. So some of them, two of them especially, recounts a story in Luke's gospel that says two of them were walking along the road to Emmaus, and they were just completely disillusioned. What happened? We thought Jesus was going to make this new kingdom, and now he's dead and he's gone. What's going to happen to the, they were just so disillusioned. And then all of a sudden it says in the account that Jesus began walking along with them on the road to Emmaus. But for some reason, they didn't recognize him. And Jesus just walked along and just kind of played along with them. He just said, where are you going? And they said, why are you so down? And they said, are you new to the area? Don't you understand why we're so discouraged? And so they began talking together and walking together. So then they come to the place where they're going to go, the two disciples. And Jesus acted as though he were going to go further. And they said, well, why don't you come with us? We're about ready to have something to eat. And Jesus joined them to eat. And then something really remarkable to me, it's really remarkable to me, and hopefully it will be to you too, but in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 30, it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But it didn't happen until he opened up the Happy Meal. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how at that moment they would go, oh, we remember all the times we broke bread together. It was a hugely important thing for those disciples to spend time with their master and just to share a meal. They devoted themselves to that. And so after the early church was born, that's one of the things that they devoted themselves to. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread. And then it says that they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer is what sets us apart from the world. We don't pray to a God who is dead. We don't pray to an ancient idol. We pray to a living Father, a living God who is living and ruling today. And we pray because we have a personal relationship with him. You don't have to use any special prayers or be eloquent or whatever. Just be yourself. Prayer is the conversation you have with your Father. And through times of prayer, what happens is it softens our hearts to receive from God. As we pray, something happens to us. It causes us to change. And so we need to devote ourselves to corporate prayer, just like they did there. But life can be confusing and overwhelming when we try to do it alone. We need to have time to hear from God, to hear from one another, and to pray together. And prayer is what keeps our lives centered and balanced and keeps us with a proper perspective. Because apart from our relationship with the Lord, we begin to start losing perspective. So we need to be devoted to those same things that the early church was. All the believers were together and everything that they had was in common. That's what made a good, strong membership. That's what made good, strong attenders of the local church, was them devoting themselves to those important things. Now, the early church had become good attenders. But God doesn't want us just to stop at just attending. Attending church is not like just attending a movie or attending a recital. God forbid, if you're attending a recital today, you're really not getting a whole lot. But if we're attending church to hear from the Word of God and to pray together and to break bread together and to fellowship together and to grow together and to worship together, if that's why we're attending, then it's more than just attending. Becoming a part of a local church is more than just signing up as a member, a partnering member. It's not just attending well, it's belonging well. When you come to when you are born into a family, you're not just attending the family. You belong to the family. You're not just attending, well, I'm going to attend this family today and I'll attend another family tomorrow. No, it's a family. You don't attend a family, you belong to a family. And so we have to learn how being a part of a local church is more than just attending a local church. When I was growing up, we grew up, and my parents were part of a major denominational church. And so when I grew up, we went to the denominational church's schools and denominational church's, it was a Catholic church. And so we went to the Catholic church together, and I was going to be a Catholic priest. Amazing, huh? Just let that sink in for a moment. Okay, we can move on. God is good. But one of the things that we learned was that we didn't go from church to church. We stayed in one church. We went to the same church my parents went to. And they went to the same church their parents went to. And there was just something about, this is what you do. You belong to the same church that your families belong to. But it seems like that's kind of changed in our culture today, where attending church is like attending a production. It's like attending a movie. You know, it's like attending a recital or an athletic competition. It's not the same as belonging to something. Now, I want to just read off my notes so I get this right. What it means is that you have found a place where belonging means something. It means something to me to belong to my family. And it should mean something to us to belong to the family of God. It's not just I'm attending here because it's convenient. It's not really convenient at all. It's not really convenient because it's in the evening. It's not really convenient because it's not right where most of us live. You know, it's not the church across the street. We don't attend because of those things. We attend because we belong. We belong together because we were born together. God put us together. God drew us out, called us out to gather together. And so we belong as a family. It's more than just a membership. It means that you genuinely care for people who genuinely care for you. That's not just attending. When I go to the movie, nobody cares if I'm there. Nobody cares if I missed. No one cares if I come. Or if I leave. I'm not family. I'm just attending. But when we're here and you're not here, you're missed. Because you belong to us. Not in a possessive way, but in a very genuine way, like you belong to family. It means you are really engaged in lasting, meaningful relationships. Some of the most important times of my entire life have occurred in and through belonging to the family of God, belonging to the body of Christ, belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ that meets at Abbot Loop. Now, something that I've noticed that's where church life is similar to family life, belonging to a family is the hugest blessing I can imagine. It's also one of the hugest challenges I can imagine. In fact, you don't even have to imagine it. It's real life. And there's one of the things that I've noticed in the years that I've attended and belonged to this family is I've noticed that sometimes there's a little tension. A little tension between other attenders. A little tension between other members or a little tension between you and your family or you and your spouse. You have a little tension on the way to church. And you walk in, good morning, good afternoon, oh, how are you? You know, a little tension going on there. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced this, but it has happened, I've heard. But there's tension that happens in the family of God. And God is okay that we feel tension. God does not mind if we feel tension, because tension is something that draws us together. Brother Bob Mumford said one time that when you first get saved, God puts this rubber band around you that's about this thick. And he says, if you start walking away from God, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner, but there's more and more pressure on you to pull you back. And the further you get away from God, the skinnier that gets and the more tension there is. So when you finally make a decision to come back, you come back pretty hard. Well, I know that there's tension that we feel when we start wandering away from what we know we should do. Oh, there's that guy. I should go talk to him. Oh, there's that issue I should resolve. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but there's a little tension sometimes as a member of the body of Christ. Now, Paul the Apostle was writing to this church in Corinth, and if you want to know what a New Testament church looks like, look at the church in Corinth. It's a good example of a New Testament church. And Paul starts out with this glowing letter to the church in Corinth, and he says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because your testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's encouraging. That's awesome. That's exciting. Paul's talking about this church that meets in Corinth and the members that belong there. And then very quickly after his glowing introduction, he says, he addresses things like quarreling and pride and complacency and immorality and taking each other to court and disorder in worship and bragging about spiritual gifts. So all of a sudden we see this dichotomy, this paradox of what's taking place. The image of the church is ambiguous at best. It's what the church should be and what the church really is. There's this tension between what Jesus describes as his glorious church and what we know to be true about the church on earth, the family of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever feel any tension, any awkwardness sometimes when something happens that you have to deal with? It's the painful tension between what the church claims to be and what it seems to be, between the ideal and the reality. I love everyone who calls himself a Christian, ideally. But in reality, wow. To dwell above with those we love will be our shining glory. To live below with those we know is quite another story. Many followers of Christ struggle to stay committed and belong to a local church when they feel this tension. Oh, it's so good to be a part of this local church. Everybody loves Jesus. All the husbands love their wives. All the kids are so submitted to their parents. All the teenagers are so well behaved. All the old people are so pleasant. They're just such a nice place. But all of a sudden we feel a little tension sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's getting quiet. Okay. Tension causes us to draw back. When I feel tension in a relationship, I want to resolve this tension. I want to get out of this tension. I start to feel awkward when I feel this tension arise in a relationship. Tension can cause us to want to leave. It can cause us to want to get out of the tension. But sometimes the tension is just what God made to change us. Because God is in the process of forming our character to represent the character of Christ. And when we get close to something that's really uncomfortable and I have to humble myself and repent of something and allow Jesus to change something in me and be formed in me, it's causing some tension and I feel uncomfortable and awkward and I don't like it. Anybody ever feel that? It's this tension of us being holy. Holy enough to stand directly into the presence of God if we were to die today. But human enough to know that there's a whole bunch of stuff in me that needs to change. There's this tension between being holy and being human. Being part of the kingdom of God and being part of the church on earth. But tension comes when God wants to build godly character in us. He wants to build unity in us. He wants to glorify himself through us. So the world will look at us, a whole bunch of people who were once strangers, coming together now for one goal, one purpose, to magnify God on the earth, to reach out and just share his love with other people. And it's going to happen, and it is happening. John Stott says, fundamental to New Testament Christianity is the perspective that we're living in between times, between the past and the future. And this is similar to where we are with our church right now. We're living in between times, in between our past and our future. Between the first and second comings of Christ. Christ came the first time in the city of Bethlehem. Christ is coming again. First he came as the Messiah, now he's coming again as a risen king. We're living in between times between what has been done and what remains to be done. In all of our lives, God has done amazing things in us. He has forgiven us things. He has changed us. He has transformed us to become different people than we once were. But yet there remains to be new stuff still transformed in us. We are a work in progress. There's caution tape around our lives. Hard hat area. Construction. God is at work. We have to be cautious because God is doing something in us. We live between our present reality and our future destiny. We will one day become the glorious church. We will one day become the bride of Christ, spotless and pure and suitable for Jesus. But right now, we're in between. His kingdom come and his kingdom coming. Stott calls it between the now already and the not yet. I'm now already mature, but not yet like Jesus. I'm now already a member of the body of Christ, but not yet reflecting the true love of Christ in all my interactions. To really belong to a family is not easy. To really belong to a church is not easy. It's easier just to attend. Because if it gets to a place where you feel some tension, you can always attend somewhere else. But what if you stayed and let the tension work on you until Christ is formed in you in those areas that God's working on you? What if we stayed long enough for God to work in us all that he means to work in us to accomplish his purposes? Sometimes it's very challenging. You'll feel the tension between what you know you should do and what you feel you want to do. I'd like to give someone a piece of my mind, but I'm afraid I don't have much to share. I don't have much left. I got to keep all what I have. But when you feel the tension, when you feel the tension in the body of Christ between the already now and the not yet, the what I should do and what I want to do, what I feel like doing but what I know I ought to do, or what I feel like I should do but I know I better not do. Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What's the calling we've received? Let's see. It's called out to assemble or gather together. It's devoting ourselves to the fellowship. That's what we were called out of. That's the calling he's referring to. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Called out of darkness to walk in his marvelous light. Be completely humble and gentle. Okay, I'm in the already now, not yet of that one. Okay, I've had moments of humility followed by long periods of pride. Anybody else ever feel like you've got humility mastered? I heard somebody once say that I used to struggle with pride, and now I don't have that problem anymore. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Be completely humble and gentle. When you feel the tension, it's a time to walk in humility. When you feel the tension of, I just am having a hard time with stuff in belonging to this family. That's a time to be humble and say, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me through this situation? Humility says, I'm turning towards you, Lord. What do you want me to learn through this situation? And gentleness. How do I respond in a way that's gentle? Gentleness is a word that reflects how God treats us. He treats us gently. And being patient, this is where we allow God to take as long as he's going to take to resolve these issues. When tension comes, we want to resolve it as quickly as possible. We don't like to stay in tense relationships or tense situations, but we have to learn to be patient and say, God, however long it's going to take to resolve this issue, that's how long I'm willing to be patient and to bear with one another in love. We must demonstrate these qualities in all of our relationships in our Christian family. To attend church, we need to attend all the way. We need to be devoted and committed followers of Christ, just like they were in the early church. But to belong to church is to be committed all the way. It's like, I am committed regardless of what happens, regardless of what tension arises, regardless of what disappointments I feel, regardless of the disillusion that I might have experienced, or regardless of the pain in a relationship, I am committed to belonging to a family. I cannot just say to my family, well, I'm in search of a new family because you guys have all disappointed me. I can't say that to you. I can't say that to them. Because I belong. And because I belong, it limits my choices. I can't just go and do what I want to do because I belong to someone else. To be devoted, to live worthy of our calling, to refuse to quit, allowing God to work in you.
It means when you feel the tension, you commit yourself to working through it and not avoiding it. If you can't go over it, you can't go under it. Remember? You can't go around it. You gotta go through it. When tension comes, my first reaction is, I want to go around that. I'm going to go over that, go under that. I'm going to avoid that. But you have to go through it. So we talked a little bit about what it means to attend, what it means to belong. I want to just kind of wrap up as we finish up, what's on my heart this morning is, in a family, just as it is in a church, God wants all of us to finish well. He wants us to leave behind a legacy. He wants us to finish well in life. God doesn't want us to tank out early because we gave into the tension and we didn't finish our race. Many start out well in their Christian life. They get a good start. It's not too difficult to get a good start. New believers are excited about everything having to do with being a Christian and being a church. But finishing well is looking at belonging to the family, belonging to the body of Christ as kind of like a race. We all start out the race pretty much the same way. I've noticed when a race starts, everybody's even. There's a line, all the bibs are together, everybody's nice and fresh, everybody's really even. And it doesn't take long before all of a sudden the whole group stretches way out. And you realize they're not all going to finish holding hands like they started. They're going to finish one at a time, 1/100th of a second ahead of the next guy. And life is like that. Christian life is, in fact, Paul mentioned that in Hebrews chapter 12. He says we all start out the same, but we don't all finish well. The same is true with churches. Many start well. Some will stay committed and attend and contribute and belong to their family their entire lives. We have had members in our church who got saved here and lived here and contributed here and belonged here their entire lives. It's amazing. And others will stay and belong until such time that the Lord will move them to another church home. Like Mick and Ellen Drick, they've been here and they've stayed here and they've contributed and they've belonged and they've attended and they've been a part of our family. But now they're moving on to somewhere else because God is moving them to someplace else. Through prayer and careful planning and good communication, we're going to be sending them out to leave and go fulfill the, God's purposes in their life. But I've also noticed something that's really kind of amazing to me when it comes to church membership and when it comes to attending local churches. There are those that attend and those that belong and those that finish well. And then there's another category. And these are the ones that just vanish. They just here one day and gone the next. And you're thinking, okay, maybe they were a witness in a mob trial and they've been taken to another location and given a new identity and placed in the witness protection program because I have never seen them since that one day. They are absolutely gone. They probably have a different name somewhere. Now, I know none of you have ever experienced someone coming in and out of your life like that. But it happens. It's important as you begin your Christian journey to begin with the end in mind. It's important as you start a family that you begin with the end in mind. You want to end well. You want to finish life well. No one starts out life saying, I am going to be a jerk at the end of my life. I am going to be a grump. I am going to lose everything. I'm going to drive people away. No one starts out like that. No. No one starts out in a Christian family, in a church, saying, I want everybody in my church to not like me. No. We start out with the end in mind. I want to be better at the end than I was at the beginning. I want to be devoted. I want to be committed. And not to an institution. I mean committed to each other. I'd like to have the worship team kind of make their way back up here. But I want to ask you to to consider something with me for just a moment. When it comes to finishing well in life and finishing well in the family of God are both equally important. Because our home is a reflection of our relationship with God. And our relationship with the Lord is a reflection of our relationship in our home. We don't have one great relationship with God and an awful relationship at home. Or the other way around. I mean, if you've got a good relationship at home, it means because you've got a good relationship with the Lord. That one is a reflection of the other. And to finish well means that we have to communicate really well with each other. If I'm going to finish well in my family, I can't just go into silence and not talk about stuff. I can't just zip up and just be quiet and not communicate with anybody anymore. I have to be willing to communicate. And one of the things I noticed is that with those that are new believers and those that are new attenders, communication is really super high. They talk about everything. They get together. They want to tell you about everything that happened and everything that they posted on Facebook and all the cool things that are going on in their life and what they had for lunch and how excited they are about Jesus being in their life. They communicate about everything and they ask you questions about everything. Communication is a high value for new believers and new attenders. Have you ever noticed? Now, something else I've noticed is that when members who belong for a long time, they've been there with you, they've hung in there with you, they've been faithful, they don't necessarily need to ask you questions about everything because they're kind of figuring some stuff out. They're kind of getting to the middle road, you know, where they've got some journey behind them and they've got some journey ahead of them, so they're doing okay. Well, their communication kind of drops. They don't really cause much trouble, they don't really have a whole lot of questions. They're doing okay. Hi, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. Good, good. So communication goes from new attender, new believer, real high communication. People have been belonging for a long time, kind of middle of the road communication. But then those that have been around for a long time, or when it comes to finishing, not much communication. Sometimes they'll just disappear. No communication. Whatever happened to, what's his name? I don't know. He never said a word. He vanished without a trace. Not even a footprint. So what I'm encouraging is that as we desire to belong well and finish well, let's make sure we communicate really well. If you're going to leave because you feel like God is stirring your heart to move you someplace else, that's awesome. But could you just tell us? Could we talk about this? If I woke up some morning and all four of my kids had moved out overnight, didn't leave a note, emptied out their dressers, took their stuff and were gone and never said a word, would you find that a little suspicious? Uh-huh. I'm calling the police. But yet somehow in the family of God, that's okay. You empty out your drawer, you take your bicycle, you take all your belongings, you're gone. We don't know why. Was it something we said? Was it something we didn't say? Was it something we did or didn't do? But when it comes to finishing your life well, sometimes you need the input of someone else. I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of peers. I have a lot of people that I talk to because I need help sometimes along the way. There are all kinds of people in our lives that can help us. Trusted friends, teachers, coaches, mentors, pastors, leaders, counselors. Everyone needs someone that they can talk to kind of wrestle with the tension sometimes. I'm feeling tension in some of my important relationships. Can you help me resolve some of these things? Can you help me resolve what's going on so I can finish well and not get sidelined by this tension that I'm feeling that's keeping me from loving people and walking in humility? Does that make sense? In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Remember those people who guided you, who loved you, who pastored you, who cared for you. Remember them. Remember, look at the outcome of their life and do what they did. They kept talking. They kept loving. They kept communicating. They kept walking in humility. They kept following Jesus closely, even through times of tension. To truly finish the race of life well is to know that you simply cannot make it apart from a very real, ongoing, dynamic relationship with Christ. That's the bottom line. But Paul wrote to Timothy, and he once again used the analogy of a race. Paul used that a lot because running the race is a lot like being a part of a family. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some times where it's challenging. And when Paul said to Timothy, he said, "I have fought the good fight." He used a word that Timothy really understood. It's a Greek word. It's agonizomai. It's where we get the word agony. He says, "I have agonized the good agony." He had tension. Paul knew tension. Believe me, it's amazing that guy wasn't pulled in half. I mean, that man knew tension. And he knew that that tension was designed by God to accomplish something. And he said, "I have agonized, Timothy. You do the same thing. I have hung in there and finished well. You do the same thing. Don't quit now. Agonize the good agony." "I have competed well in the athletic contest of life. I have finished the race. I have kept the rules. I have not fouled out and been disqualified from winning." Finishing well just simply means that at the end of your life, you're more in love with Jesus than you were as a new believer. To finish well means that at the end of your life, you're committed to serving God's people more than you were at the beginning of your Christian experience. And to finish well means that at the end of your life, you're more committed to having the character of Christ formed in you than you were at the beginning. That's to finish well. To love Jesus, to love his people, and to allow him to shape his character in your life more at the end of your life, finishing strong, finishing well, reaching, leaning forward for that finish line and finishing well. Devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer, just like you did at the beginning. That's how you finish well. You finish well by doing what you did at the beginning. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, because that's the way you finish well. And communicate with each other. Talk about what's going on. Talk to a trusted friend. Don't keep it inside. If you're feeling tension, get with Jesus, get with someone you know, someone you love, and work it out. Would you go ahead and stand, please? We're going to worship the Lord. I encourage you to release a little tension today. Just kind of go, "Oh, Jesus." It feels so good to just let it off a little bit. Just relax in his arms and just say, "Jesus, I want to finish well in my family, in my life, in my church." Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, help us. Help us to finish well. Help us to finish strong. Help us to represent you well at the end of our lives, like we did at the beginning of our lives. Father, I pray for those that are experiencing tension today, that they would just release that tension before you, that you would just have your way in their lives today, God. Let them just give in and give up and give it over to you, Father. And I pray that you would just move us to a new place in our relationship as members of those who belong to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.